All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here with my buddies Chuck and John. Gentlemen.
Hey now.
How are we doing?
Good.
I've been better.
Have you?
I have been.
John, you're wearing a short sleeve button down.
I am.
Unbuttoned to the, is that a nave? Unbuttoned to the nave?
To the nave.
Navel.
To this, yeah.
Pendant.
Sternum.
To my
showing.
Amulet.
To my first, my first navel. I do have two navels and they're both innies. And that's our first penis joke of the day.
Well, we are off. We have a packed show. I feel like the last couple of weeks, I didn't know what to talk about.
It's to make up for last week's horrific Skype cast.
The Skype casts are rough.
It's hilarious to me.
You listeners will have no idea how many times we're repeating. Even when we tell you we've already done this before, you don't know the other times.
We've done it thrice.
Things keep breaking. We're on time crunches.
Yeah.
Chuck, if you hadn't noticed that I threw a coin that muted my mic.
How great was that? I know you guys didn't have fun last week, but I thought last week was magical. It was a great episode.
That's why you're here, Chuck.
I am.
Just blissfully ignorant of the real world.
Yeah, I had.
You're like
had
a child.
I'm like a dumb kid.
Wanders into a room in the middle of a movie.
Well, the NBA season has really hit the fever pitch of things falling into place. But before we get there, on this Wednesday, very warm. What season are we in?
I think it's Schmarch.
Allergy season.
In a very warm allergy season in Nashville, Tennessee, did we have breakfast?
Oh, I went in. I was at Tower Deli, East Nashville, Tennessee. Mm. I had the chopped cheese sandwich.
Oh, chopped cheese coming back.
I had two chopped cheese in the past week, which probably has something to do with my constant heartburn. But a chopped cheese is the New York bodega version of the Philly cheesesteak sandwich. We have talked about it here on the podcast. It's effectively, and what I found out today is that they put a little, fry up a little garlic and throw it in the ones there at Tower Deli, which they don't do.
I did not know that.
In the South Bronx bodega that I was, learned about the chopped cheese. So that, it was a fantastic, melted cheese, American. They don't go fancy.
No.
They substitute.
Not unlike the cheesesteak, which must have cheese whiz.
It must have. Or you can go provolone.
You got to get no.
Yeah. Don't tell an old Italian guy he can't have provolone on his cheesesteak in Philly. He'll cut you open. But my Philly.
Or just vote Trump.
The Trump.
Let's not propagate stereotypes.
No, you're right.
This Italian is not a mobster. He's an above board businessman.
You're going to be hearing from the Anti-Defamation League.
He works in construction.
That could be good for our numbers.
No, but yeah, it's basically a Philly cheesesteak sans the sliced beef of a Philly sub the ground beef of ground beef.
Ground chuck.
So yeah, it's a fantastic sandwich. There's a lot of debate on who has the best chopped cheese in New York City. And mine was
the answer
one
is Tower Deli on Galton Road in Nashville, Tennessee.
I don't love cheese.
You're tripping.
Just don't.
You're a very unlikable person.
Yeah,
I do get
is.
That sometimes. That's not the first time I heard that.
you have weird opinions and people look at you funny when you say that.
I didn't have breakfast, but I did this morning make an entire batch of Chex Mix at around 3:30 a.m., which is an intense two-hour process.
You just needed to have some Chex. Was that planning ahead? Was this forethought for I'm having a big week, I want to have some homemade Chex Mix ready?
Well, no, but the lie I told my girlfriend when she woke up, walked into the kitchen, and I had the biggest bowl imaginable of Chex Mix and was stuffing it into my face was,
it's for a party later in the week.
And then I had to make up a party. And I really don't know. I just had bad insomnia. So I drove to the Kroger and bought two boxes of Crispix.
Mm.
A bottle of Wooster.
Wooster?
Couldn't find Crystal hot sauce, which is the preferred hot sauce for Chex Mix. So a bottle of Texas Pete.
Texas Pete.
Well, I ended up mixing Louisiana and Texas Pete.
Ooh, what an innovator.
And a stick of butter.
We call that a Texarkana.
Texa-Louisiana. Caught up on some insane TV show called Legion, which I regret doing.
This is an aside, Legion aside.
A lot of Legion talk.
When I watched the pilot, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was an incredibly entertaining, standalone piece of entertainment. And I said, that was really cool. I'm not sure I want to watch anymore because what more could they give me?
Right.
And now I think I've watched four more episodes after it. Yeah, I don't.
The pilot to me was pregnant with, does this matter?
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say, no.
But that's why it's a great one-off piece of entertainment.
It does not matter.
It was just like an 80-minute, like, this looks cool. I don't know what's happening. And then it's like, oh.
It makes the terrible mistake of the reveals end up being just verbal reveals that only fans of something would know about.
Couldn't be worse than the Westworld reveals.
Yes, it could.
The maze is finding yourself.
Hey, buddy.
I believe that was the official.
I won't.
Guys, the maze is finding yourself.
Mm-hmm. I won't spoil it, but it's definitely worse than that. It reminds me of this time. So I go to this theater a lot that's like almost all black people when I go to it. And I've learned that black people, they're not the target demographic for Star Trek, especially the old TV show. So when they did Star Trek Into Darkness, which was essentially a remake of Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
Right.
And then the big reveal was... Benedict Cumberbatch saying, I am Khan.
Right.
I swear, at least 11 people who I'm sure had never seen that TV show ever.
Or the movie.
Just went, who the f*** is Khan? Sometimes your fan service goes too far.
These movies don't stand on their own.
Yeah.
They certainly don't.
They assume you have lots of knowledge going to them, which is like that new, finally we're off on the right direction.
Yeah.
That new X-Men movie, the X-Men Apocalypse, which is one of the worst things I'd ever seen.
Great trash.
It kept introducing me to people that they never said their names. Right. And it was like, I'm supposed to, like Rose Byrne's in it, and I guess she was in another movie that I saw.
Moira McTaggart.
And they kept saying her name, and like they kept looking at each other.
Moira.
And it was like the music would rise. Like, the music is telling me I should know something. I don't remember it. And they definitely haven't told it to me this movie. So
now that I think about it, though, that was the most breakfasty breakfast of all. I had it in the morning, and it was cereal.
There you go. Good My breakfast, you. Also very similar. Not actually breakfast. The Grizzlies and Kings played late night on Monday. You know that
game killed me.
That 9:45 Central tip.
Ugh.
It's rough for old Daddy Keith.
My favorite.
John loves it.
No, it used to be the best, because yeah. There's no other games, you know, really to right. distract you. You can just go... whatever. Give it all your attention.
Get focused.
But I was struggling, so I did a little late night run. Kind of a munchy run for a sober person. Mm. And I got a lot of cookies and a lot of candy.
Yeah, that's you. That's what you do.
So I had some left over. So candy in the morning, that sounds like that's unhealthy. A cookie in the morning, that feels like nutrition.
Yeah.
So I had some of those blonde Oreos.
This does not sound good.
That's what I ate today.
The three of us, our health has to be... If we had a doctor,
we're
come
spiraling.
Up on, yeah, we As, should have a doctor man. Come out.
This
and talk
is
to us
the
about it.
The whatever the doldrums the
tax season.
I mean, we've been well. Tax season's coming for
Jesus
us freelancers.
God,
the this is what. How many months are we into the season?
100.
I mean, we've been doing these things. You know, you go every week.
So hard to
it builds
healthy.
Up. So, you know what gives first is personal relationships.
Mm.
What gives second is your diet.
Yeah, your health.
your diet and your health. Mm. So I'm on that one. So yeah, I had
glad
a bunch
you're
of,
knocking them off your list.
Checking them off the list. So yeah, I had a bunch of cookies for breakfast, and that'll probably lead to our next segment. After our breakfasts, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies, and this is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode, or in life, or in our personal relationships. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
The Cavs need to apologize to David Blatt.
Heard.
This is the worst the Cavs have been in a long, long time. They're no longer in first in the Eastern Conference, which we know LeBron cares about, because Chris Bosh tells us so.
Chris Bosh told us that? I didn't get that.
He said it recently.
Really?
He cares a lot about the number one seed. He cares a lot about it.
Does it?
Was that on Players Only? Hashtag.
Who knows? What is Players Only?
I don't want to talk about
it. Did Lenny Dykstra start it? I hope it's a Lenny Dykstra Ponzi scheme.
Mm. Is this a callback to the Philly cheesesteak?
Might have been.
All right.
Nails, baby.
Great center field.
Who do you think win a fight? Lenny Dykstra and Darren Dalton versus Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
I got Dalton and Dykstra.
Hell yeah, that's right.
Those Phillies teams are great.
But, I mean, the Cavs, this is a shambolic as we've seen them. And really, did they ever make any strides after firing David Blatt? I know we're going back a ways.
They just won a championship.
I mean,
they just won a championship. No big deal.
Yeah, but any strides? Really?
Yeah. Did they get better? I can't see anything on the court that makes me feel like their team's better than
we thought. The Korver and Darren Williams acquisition was the pushover.
Right.
But that's a...
But this is regular season. This does not matter.
No, but what...
I don't care they have the worst defense in the league.
Well, that does matter. Because historically, no team outside of the top 15 has ever won a championship.
No, that's not true. It's the Lakers team that coasted. We're a lower half of the team. I don't...
I don't know.
I'm just kind of looking around the coachscape, and I'm like, where the hell is David Blatt? Right. Did he deserve to be completely erased?
Well, we talked about it earlier in the year. Ty Lue had a worse record at the same point in the year that Blatt got fired at. So it's...
Where is he?
It's like the Grizzlies having a worse record this year than last year under Jaeger.
Yeah.
Where is he?
But don't tell anybody. Apparently,
you're supposed to know these things. Where is David Blatt?
Isn't he back in Israel coaching or Maccabi or some other EuroLeague? I don't actually know.
Probably counting his millions of dollars.
Yeah, he made a lot of money. Getting fired from the NBA is a pretty awesome thing to happen to you.
As a head coach,
Because you still get paid most of the time. Unless...
you got to remember, that we think of that as a life changing. That's still their passion. They still want to do that.
I get it, but...
I just can't believe he's nowhere to be found.
I'm sure he has kids, too. He wants to go to their freaking soccer games.
The Cavs put, like, the thinner curse on that dude. Like, he didn't just get fired. He's erased.
Right. And do you remember...
And he did better than they're doing now.
And do you remember the hype around him?
I still don't know why this Cavs team, this knows they're probably going to make the finals. I know everyone's like, oh, the Celtics are coming on and the Wizards look great and whatever. I think this is the disease of when you have to say something about the NBA every day for 4 months.
My argument is not, oh no, the Cavs are in trouble.
Oh, you just think.
My argument is,
Blatt,
why is David Blatt erased from the annals of the NBA?
Why can't he get a job?
Yeah.
He'll come back, guys.
He brought a team.
Sam Hinkie's about to get another job.
He's not Derek Fisher. He'll get another job.
No. Ooh. We'll see.
I remember this moment in podcast history to see who gets hired next, Derek Fisher or David Blatt.
That's a good question.
Pretty good. We should write that one down.
My apology, I guess, will be I'm not apologizing to Devin Booker. I will apologize to Terrence Ross, who honestly should thank me.
Yeah.
Because I threw my parish hex on him last week. He's had three solid, over 50% shooting games in a row, averaging 18 points a game his last three games. That's not bad. That's all we wanted. Right. So after saying he was bad, he did respond. And yes, this is a lame duck episode where he will play a game on Wednesday night after I have said these things right now, and maybe it will end. But
don't play him in your daily fantasy leagues.
Yeah, so that's a warning. But Terrence Ross, I said you were apparently not good. Now you're looking okay again. Again, you know.
Okay, it's kind of hard to go from Toronto to Orlando as far as, like, if you care about winning and you want to, you know, actually be in the playoffs.
But if you're going from playing 15 minutes a game to getting 30, you should be able to step it up and do some things.
But your heart's broken.
In the Vogelscape.
Your heart's broken.
Your heart is broken.
Suddenly you're surrounded only by power forwards and shooting
You're in
forwards.
A wonderful cosmopolitan city, and then you move to the totally morally dead...
Hey, man.
Empty Orlando downtown.
Harry Potter world or whatever.
There's no Drake in the greater Kissimmee area.
You can play Kidditch. You guys ever play Kidditch?
You drink Butterbeer.
What is Butterbeer?
That's the drink from Harry Potter drink.
Oh. See, I don't actually know anything.
I thought you just said Kidditch.
You normally know most things about fictional things. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't know.
Potterverse eludes me.
I'll never get in on something a seven-year-old can also be super stoked about.
I don't think that's true.
There's too many examples. Slides.
Breasts.
I don't like slides.
Into breasts.
I breastfed for a long time.
It explains a lot.
I would make a Game of Thrones reference, but I can't remember any of the names.
Cersei.
That guy. No, the other guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That guy.
Moon Room.
So my sorry and apology goes to Russell Westbrook. Last week I said it's pretty much over that his MVP bid is dead. I don't think so.
Oh,
I'm wrong.
That game over.
Well, it's easy to compare Westbrook and Harden, which we kind of go 1 and 1A right now as far as MVP goes. Westbrook is dragging a far worse team along than the Rockets are with Harden. The value over replacement player of the non-Russell Westbrook Thunder player is a -0.2.
Yeesh.
And the VORP for non-beard Rockets is a 7. Even the guys that we say, wow, it's that team's better. Taj Gibson has played like dog crap since.
Started well.
It did, but
he started as a starter pretty well.
Yeah, he's in a negative VORP as well. That's a dead carcass, and he's dragging it. And the amount of like missed time from guys like Adams, Oladipo, and Cantor, they missed 53 games between the three of them. Those are the only non-rookies that played with him in training camp. So he's got to do on the fly, play with all these players that he, you know, hasn't had time to really gel with, and he's still doing well. They are great when he gets a triple-double. What is his 30 wins, 6 losses? He's incredible. I hope we can get to a place and maybe we can have a co-MVP situation. I think we should.
No.
As a man who believes in dating multiple women at once, I don't think we should commit.
And how's that turning out for you?
Monogamy. Hey, I'm doing well, bro. No STD yet.
I want to see your pap smear.
The Russell Westbrook has worse teammates argument, narrative, which has become almost set in stone, is still somewhat revisionist history.
You can
based on the preseason.
On paper, you would say that the Thunder have better players, but
in the preseason, the on actuality. Some of those NBA rank things, like Steven Adams and Victor Oladipo were ahead of any of James Harden's teammates. Clint Capella was the highest rated Rocket coming into the year on a lot of those NBA rank things. Mm-hmm. So like you look at it now and everyone's like, oh, Harden has Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson and, Patrick Beverley.
The difference a GM can make.
No, it does.
The Rockets are built to succeed.
I agree that way, but my argument as for a Harden over Westbrook is Harden is making these teammates look better. He's uplifting them. And meanwhile, Westbrook is subtracting the value from his teammates. So I think,
I think that you could look at that two ways, though, because James Harden is dishing to, wide open good shooters.
Agreed.
And the Thunder have no good shooters.
Right.
No, I'm with you there.
And Harden's, Westbrook's, like, assist percentage and stuff is actually higher than Harden's.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's actually doing more for his teammates than Harden is. Although, there's so many arguments to be made about. I mean, if you just watch Russell Westbrook play basketball, he clearly has to have the ball at all times.
Right.
That's just his innate nature. That's how he plays. And that team, like, does play to his style, potentially to the detriment of their own.
Yeah, so I just see what you mean. If you polled hardcore NBA fans and even NBA writers before the season tipped off in October of who had the better supporting cast, I think it would have been way more split. But now, into the season, we're like, no, James Harden has way more help. And I think that's a false narrative that has been created based on this season.
I think that's true. Like, I don't think James Harden has had way more help. I do think Russell Westbrook's statistics are much more impressive than James Harden's, because James Harden is playing in a 7 seconds or less Mike D'Antoni offense that runs.
But he also is the first player to ever have scored for 2,000 points and assisted 2,000 points. So, again, I know I saw Daryl Morey throwing these things out. Like, if we're picking some arbitrary numbers, like triple-doubles, why don't we celebrate these other random arbitrary numbers?
Well, and all these things, it's Westbrook.
James Harden also just broke the turnovers record.
Yeah.
So if we want to talk thresholds, we can spin this any way we want.
Yeah, everyone talks about how nobody's done this kind of season since Oscar Robertson with Westbrook. But nobody's had this kind of season. Oscar Robertson's the only other player to have the kind of season Harden's having this year, which is more than 27 points, more than 7 assists. Right. And more than 7 rebounds or 6 rebounds. So he's destroyed.
Oscar Robertson's like really enjoying this. You know who else might be really enjoying this? Is Artis Gilmore like the anti Mercury Morris? Is he popping champagne because he's no longer has the most turnovers in the season? Is he like, oh yes, not at the top of that, not the answer to that trivia question any longer?
Yeah. Well, that was the long end to the breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best thing, a reminder for just a few more days in March, we will let you write a 5-star iTunes review and we will read it on air. Once April comes, you're allowed to write a 5-star iTunes review, but we are not compelled to read it. Mm-hmm. And we do have a couple of those reviews to read right now.
Worthy Adventures writes, and I wish he had spelled it like James Worthy and not Werther's original Worthy. Solid NBA podcast, 5 stars. I've been listening for a few weeks, and this is the most solid NBA podcast I've enjoyed. I love fantasy basketball, and this podcast gives more insight to teams. I love the camaraderie. Thank you.
Thank you, Worthy Adventures. That was very sweet.
I'll read the next one. This comes from Landgitstick, and it's titled Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage. 5-star review. The personalities on this podcast make for a very humorous and entertaining show. I listen to a lot of NBA pods, and these guys are definitely the funniest. Their Game of Scones segment is also really great. It would be awesome to see them do some debate episodes, such as discussing their top 10 players of all time, top 5 at each position, and maybe an all-time player draft. Those are always really interesting. Lastly, woo, Pig Suey, Razorbacks. If you guys call the hogs on the podcast, it would honestly make my day. So you get it.
You got it. That was it, right?
That was. I don't know. Don't, how do you do it properly?
Did we do it all?
I think it was pretty close.
Yeah.
Woo,
Pig Suey.
Pig Suey.
All right, cool.
Thanks for doing that, guys. So I don't have to.
I mean, I'll rank my top 5 at each position. It's Tony Allen.
Mm-hmm. Lance Stevenson.
That's it, actually. Just Tony Allen at every position.
Dylon.
So reminder, those weren't really plugs or anything, but we did do an Arkansas hog call or something.
Call.
So if you do have anything to plug, be it your own podcast or your band or anything, write it in that 5-star iTunes review, and we will read it as long as it is not horribly offensive. All right, Steak and Eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
John touched on it earlier, but my best thing is the Boston Celtics gaining the number one seed in the East over the listless.
You just hate the Cavs.
I hate the Cavs so much as a Miami Heat homer. Cavs being below 500 in 2 of the past 3 months. Is incredible.
The Nets have more wins this month than the Cavs.
It's kind of sick.
The Nets have more wins than most teams this month.
They have.
Well, I think they're 7-8.
They're trying to ruin that that Celtics pick. Speaking of, the Celtics have a number one pick next year in the draft and what's supposed to be a solid draft. This was supposed to be kind of a rebuild season for them while they waited on a superstar to come in the draft. And they're number one in the East.
I mean, we all unanimously took their over that was 52.5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not a rebuild.
They're not a rebuild, but they're not in some... They were supposed to be, in the wings behind Toronto and not really being taken seriously as a contender for home court throughout the East playoffs. So, yeah, not specifically rebuild, but, at least on the uptick, this wasn't going to be their best team in the next few years. We can see them kind of, with draft picks.
And what if it is?
And that's possible. But as it stands right now, Brad Stevens is my coach of the year, even though I love what Spoelstra obviously is doing in Miami. But Brad Stevens is cooking 5-star dishes with not much on his roster.
If they finish atop the Eastern Conference, that probably...
There's no doubt he gets that.
Puts it on him.
But
although
yeah,
you could give it to Pop again if you want to.
Always. Every year he could get it. But I think this Celtics team is, it's great to watch somebody take down old crusty ass Eggs Benedict.
I do like the narrative. I do like the narrative switch. Like, I'm going to not say narrative anymore today.
Yeah, you said it a bunch.
Yeah. I've gone back to listening to NBA podcasts and it's changed my head. I snapped for a second that week that Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe did double on each other's podcast. Yeah. Something snapped in my brain and I went all comedy podcasts for that. Like, I quit listening to basketball podcasts. I'm like, I don't want to hear any more opinions for a while. But I do
hit your Zach Lowe tipping point.
Yeah, I do like the fact that we are going to get a LeBron having to win on the road LeBron team as a favorite. I think that's fun. I think, it feels like we've conceded the East to LeBron for so many years. Mm-hmm. The idea of him not having home court advantage is more fun, I guess, as a favorite.
Yeah, it does. It offers some, variation to what we're kind of accustomed to the past few years. And if anything, it's just exciting to see a team with no real superstar put together a season like this. Yeah, I mean,
I love
Isaiah Thomas. I mean, real superstar.
Chuck thinks the Celtics are rebuilding with no good players. You heard it here.
No real superstar. What's top five players?
He's going to be like, he possibly is going to finish fifth in the MVP vote, Isaiah Thomas.
I think it's interesting.
His usage over 30.
Are they going to keep him?
Over 60% true shooting. He's going to be angry with whoever they draft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
You got to keep him, though.
And we saw what happened when he was in.
He's good.
I feel like they might trade him.
I think they need, what they need to do is
trade that pick.
They need to trade that pick and get the Georgia Butler.
Well, you know, clearly they are not going to trade that pick.
No, I think once the lottery happens, if they finish,
you think that's the,
if they
the
don't
Danny get, Ainge Kaiser Soze move.
I don't. Everyone knows I don't follow the draft or like the prospects. But if they don't end up with one and Markel Fultz, I assume you trade that pick and try to get Jimmy Butler or Paul George, because you have like you're locked and loaded, mm-hmm, with Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley,
Marcus,
you know,
Smart,
Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford. Mm-hmm. These guys are in their prime. I feel like you lock and load and you get that next guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Or, you know, I guess if you can sign Gordon Hayward. It's going to be fun.
Ooh,
fun offseason.
That'd be a fun
But it would be wild if they do, again, get number one overall and give the Cavs a big scare. My best thing, my steak and eggs this week, is the Yusuf Nurkic revenge tale.
Ooh.
I haven't been this satisfied for a revenge I saw coming since John Wick 1 and 2. Because so many times you get worked up for, oh, it's a revenge game.
Yeah.
He's really going to let him have it. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out, like Red Viper in the Game of Thrones. Like, I didn't. That revenge went poorly. Nurkic destroyed the Nuggets. And this is a huge game. And yes, I have adopted the Nuggets as my secondary team this season. So I felt some pain.
They haven't made it easy.
I actually was wearing a Nuggets shirt yesterday.
Wow.
I wore the shirt for the team I was pulling for that night, and they lost hideously. It just the way they lost.
Right.
Mike Malone trying out some new lineups for the first time.
Some fearful symmetry. I wore, under my members only jacket at work, my Nikola Jokic shirt last night.
That's crazy.
I didn't even know you owned a Nikola Jokic shirt.
I got the Joker.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
Nurkic stomping on him, hitting all his shots. Where you say his post-game quote?
What was his post-game?
Oh, his post-game quote is like, I wish all those guys a great summer.
Oh.
He was live on League Pass, and they were interviewing him, and he was saying things. I couldn't understand it all, honestly. But
it's good that he's playing with anger.
He's like, I'm having fun.
Seems like an emotional dude, though.
What's
he's on the bench.
What's his Instagram name, Chuck?
Oh, gosh. It's like, his Instagram is BosnianBeast23, which is one of my favorite all-time.
That's like a Batman villain. KG Beast. In fact, I think I shall now call Yusuf Nurkic the KG Beast.
Also, the funny thing with him is Jokic, I feel like, got destroyed, obviously, in that game.
Jokic. Although he still put up good numbers.
Yeah, good numbers,
like
17, but he got destroyed.
Eight.
Also, it's weird, like the, I don't know if there was some kind of, this could be like a Stephen King novel. Moving to Portland, Nurkic seems to have lost like 30, 40 pounds.
Mm.
And he gave some of it to Jokic.
He's getting chunkier.
Like, Jokic's getting a little beefy, getting a little winded, getting back to that childhood drinking all that soda look. So, yeah, it was a dark day for the Nuggets, who are now very much in trouble. It would be, I guess, hilarious now if the Blazers fell apart.
Wouldn't it be hilarious
in the last
that,
eight games,
that if Jokic was pushed by having Nurkic on the team, so he worked his ass off to get Nurkic off the team, and now that Nurkic is gone, he's kind of just eating donuts.
No, exactly. That's what it looks like. He's like. I mean, yeah. We gave Mike Malone so much crap for starting the season with Jokic at the four and then benching him. Mm-hmm. But you saw now Nurkic is killing it. So they saw the talent in Nurkic. But yeah, so Nurkic totally quit on that team. He went Vince Carter on them.
Yeah.
And just said, I'm gonna be horrible. Trade me. And now that he's traded, Jokic is like, woo, Bosnian beast ain't breathing down my neck. I let myself go a little bit. NBA Twitter loves me. I'm going to quit working out. So that's my best thing. Nurkic, step it up to the plate and knocking that revenge out of the park. You got a best thing, John?
I sure do. And it's very similar. It's like a fraction of the... Do you guys recall the Kawhi Leonard offensive, then defensive game-winning play from a few weeks back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the Rockets.
Our man James Johnson did his own little mini version of that.
So good.
Blood sport.
Man.
Not only did he dunk Marcus Morris into oblivion, he then caused the jump ball that led to the Hassan Whiteside game-winning tip. It's just one of those beautiful both ends of the court sequences that makes your blood. So beautiful. I miss James Johnson so much.
That James Johnson dunk was only the second greatest dunk against the Pistons he's had when he was on the Raptors.
Oh, yes.
And went baseline all over Andre Drummond and, quote, I cocked that joint back and banged on him. And I'll have you know, when I typed in James Johnson to my Google window, cocked that joint back was the thing that was the autofill.
There you go.
I wanted to get exactly right. But yeah, that was...
We've got cocked that joint back and cocked it back to Waffle House on the same team.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. As Slack chat champion Matt Sullivan has pointed out, the Heat team seems to be enjoying playing with each other.
They look like they're having fun.
They really do. They're obviously without Waiters, that's a big deal.
Right, but he's out a couple more weeks.
They're way worse without Waiters. I think with Waiters, they are 27-19 with Waiters, and I think 9-19 without him. But something on the... It could be a couple games off.
There is some great news for the Heat coming up. They're playing the Knicks on back-to-back games.
They're
so
only favored by 3 points tonight.
That's kind
of
weird.
Haven't been that good. I mean, it's the second of a back-to-back. Again, we're recording lame duck. You won't hear this until that game's over, but yeah, they're having those troubles. All right.
Spoiler, I'll have lost money on that.
All right, opposite of steak and eggs, what is your cream of wheat worst of week? What's the worst thing that's been going on?
I was mean last week. I was talking about Kawhi Leonard being not a great defender, and that's just a stupid thing for me to say. I'm apologizing again.
That's fine. Two
apologies.
You got to bring the hot takes.
I bring the hot takes. It's what I do.
We got to have a Bayless on here.
I've read a Matt Moore article about how his defense is so good that it's actually hurting his team defense when he's on the court. And another one that you sent me.
The Nylon Calculus guys were all over it.
They were talking about how the players missing threes against his shot defenses is hurting him defensively as well. So it doesn't all, none of these things make sense. I don't get it.
Right.
But he has, and then this is kind of a big picture thing outside of what's going on with him this season, but he has more, you know, as of, you know, a day ago, he has more steals and fouls in his career. And he's only had one technical in his whole NBA career.
That's because he's deaf and mute.
He's literally a robot. But, you know, Kawhi, dude, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure you out as you go. You're kind of a crazy spectacle for me to try to figure out. But
well, you guys talking about all these flawed defensive stats makes me think of a song. And that little song goes a little something like this. Dinklage, Peter Dinklage. Got that game of scones.
Oh, game of scones!
I'm on a streak, y'all. I got two weeks in a row where I'm crushing.
All right, well, we'll see. This one can make you look bad if you don't put up a pretty good performance.
I'm going to look so bad.
So I have three, perhaps flawed, advanced defensive statistics. Defensive box plus minus. Defensive win shares. And defensive rating.
I think the nerds, I say that affectionately, hate defensive win shares the most.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
anyway,
interesting.
I'm excited.
That's interesting because this will tie into what we've just finished.
I believe win shares are an accumulated stat where the more you play, the higher your number goes.
Right.
So,
but really, all I'm going to do is you guys have to name players and they have to be in the top 10 of one of these three categories.
Okay.
First one to have three strikes is out.
Okay.
We're going to go fast with this. There's not going to be a bunch of dinkling.
Okay.
Dinkledging. Chuck, go first.
Chris Paul.
Chuck starts off with a bang with a strike.
Gobert.
Correct.
All right.
Second in defensive box plus minus. First in defensive win shares. And second in defensive rating.
Let me get Jonathan Simmons.
Oh.
I like where you're going crazy Spurs.
Ghost Simmons.
But that's another strike for Chuck.
It's the first strike for Chuck.
No, you missed the first one.
Yeah,
Chris Paul was not.
Oh, you said strike. I thought you meant like...
No, that wasn't like bowling.
Okay, cool.
No.
You meant baseball strike.
Three strikes and you're out. Okay, and you are two-thirds of the way there.
You meant Tebow at the plate.
Baseball strike.
This is underwhelming.
Give me... I'll take Hassan Whiteside.
Ooh. Does not show up anywhere close in defensive box plus minus. Does not show up until, just ekes into win shares.
Yes.
But fourth in defensive rating.
All right, good.
Well done, Keith.
Chuck,
it can't be like this. It can't be three straight.
Kevin Durant? No.
Does he
an insane
Well, it's Kevin
Durant. Answer, but correct.
Yeah, I was like, Kevin Durant's been really good. He was amazing when he played.
Seventh in defensive rating. Has not shown up anywhere else. I like that Chuck said that because I think that's the part of his game that he turned up this year.
Yeah, he really
did. He was amazing. Guarding all positions, Draymond style. Mm-hmm. I will go with
Did you just say Draymond?
And I will go with Draymond.
That's correct.
That's why I hesitated, because I know Draymond's probably higher on that.
Draymond, first in two categories and second in defensive win shares.
Yeah, Draymond's been, first the last couple of years, I think. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
All right, cool. I mean, this is probably me eating crow, but Kawhi Leonard.
Just barely.
Oh, he is in there.
Is eighth in defensive rating, nowhere to be found in the other two.
Nice.
Just that's kind of the whole thing made me think of just how weird these stats are this year when the guy we consider the best defender doesn't show up in them.
Right.
Keith?
I'll go Danny Green.
Uh-oh. Keith has his first strike.
No.
Wait a minute. 10th in defensive box plus minus. By the skin of his teeth. Little drama
I know these things
there.
Favor big guys, but I thought maybe I was going another spur.
Hey, they really don't. Defensive box plus minus really, really will save you here. Okay. So don't be stuck thinking center.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Let me go James Johnson.
Oh, went with his heart for the third strike. Nowhere to be found.
Oh, Tyler Johnson on that list?
Not a great defender, despite his awesome plays.
Yeah.
His positioning and lack of win shares will get him. But it's a really interesting list. You guys went Spurs heavy, and I can see why. Because guys like Pau Gasol show up
right
over and over.
My last guess was going to be, I think the only Grizzly with a chance is Tony Allen.
No.
Because I thought he had one of them.
The best he has is he's 14th in defensive box plus
there
minus.
There we go. 14th, I'll take it.
I really wanted, when I started this, to point to Rudy Gobert as king of defense.
Right.
But really, it just makes you, you're in awe of, and Rudy was way up there everywhere, but you're just in awe of Draymond Green and then of Greg Popovich, because he's got guys like Powell. I was pretty impressed with Thabo Sefolosha showing up all over the place, too.
Great defender. Yeah. There's a reason he's in the league.
Anthony Davis.
And they're only good. Anthony Davis actually was kind of nowhere to be found, too. Oh, Andre Drummond, like third in all three.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, these stats are fun to delve into, but as we just discussed, don't know if I can really trust them.
Yeah. I will tell you, Tony Allen leads the NBA in deflections per 100 possessions. I will give you a million guesses.
Over Robert Covington?
For who he's tied with. It's Chris Dunn.
Whoa.
Per 100 possessions, both average 6.6 deflections. That's from Nathan Walker.
But hey, that's Twitter. That's what everyone said Chris Dunn would be like when he came to the league, was like this amazing defender.
I've read a stat. He's one of the first rookies to average X amount of steals and blocks a game.
Maybe that gives you some hope, because otherwise I've seen nothing from him.
Yeah, so he's doing well on the defensive side. But yeah, that offense needs to catch up real quick if they want to get rid of Rubio. But Rubio's defense.
Rubio's been killing it.
His defense and drawing
clutch questionable three-point fouls.
Yeah. Sank all three.
To win basketball games. All right, where are we at? We're in cream of wheats.
We just talked about Thabo Sefolosha. He's tangentially part of my cream of wheat worst of the week.
Yep.
I cannot stand and won't watch the Hawks play basketball until Paul Millsap returns from his, apparently has Cenobites in his knee, like those demons from the Hellraiser series.
I didn't know what that was.
Oh, man. That's what I heard on the radio this morning.
I don't like horror movies. So,
are those like
things? Don't watch the Hellraiser movies, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It'll be like, they look like Chuck, but then like they'll open up their breastplate and there'll be like another person in there with their eyes sewn shut.
Yeah, no, I know that's the horror movie I can't handle.
Oh no.
I saw Get Out. That's not really a horror movie.
That's a psychological thriller.
Social commentary.
Although someone pointed out to me I'm white, and that's why I wasn't scared. Like, oh. Oh yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, you know, yeah. I felt very comfortable around those people. That's fine.
It seems scary. But the Hawks, I mean, they finally eked out a win.
Against the Suns, and the Suns were up.
The lowly Suns, who almost won that game.
Who benched Devin Booker.
Right.
Who held him out.
Before that, I believe, had lost either 7 or 9 straight. I don't remember. What is happening? With Millsap out, are they one of the worst teams?
Well, they had not won a game without Paul Millsap. They were 0-9 without Paul Millsap. Looked like their over was a lock, which I took over, again, for fake money. But they lost all those in a row without Millsap. Now they're literally possibly not going to make the playoffs. Like,
Jesus.
They're still projected like 90% or 83% to make it. But that
and wouldn't you guys prefer them not to?
No, if Millsap's back, I don't begrudge them at all.
I can't stand watching Dennis Schroeder play.
I don't like Schroeder and I don't like Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard's been okay. And
he's been okay.
Like, I like their wings. Their wings are weird. Like, Tim Hardaway Jr. going off every now and then. Like, it's kind of fun, but
he has ended up to be a better player than we thought he would be when we laughed at that draft pick trade.
Definitely. I guess I'll do my worst. I wasn't going to do it. I guess I will since I just mentioned him. The Devin Booker 70-point game, I'm not angry about it.
Thou doth protest too much.
I am shoehorning this into my cream of wheat just because we needed to make the content work. Had to get it in. I thought it was funny. A couple things about it. One, everyone's like, 70-point Devin Booker helping everyone out in their fantasy playoffs. Well, not when the Suns hold him out two games later for rest. That's just two 35-point games now.
Keith's picking this apart.
It's so incredible. No, I think the Devin Booker game was super fun. It was bizarre. It was beyond bizarre.
Our Slack chat was binging. Well,
because
about that game.
The Suns started the youngest team in NBA history.
Yeah.
It was younger than 15 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams. an average age of 21 in, so many days or whatever. But they were down by 20 5 minutes into the game.
Right.
And then it was all garbage time. It was 40 minutes of garbage time. And then just goofing around like the Celtics not caring who scores points because they were up by 20 the whole game. And it wasn't until the third quarter where, Devin Booker starts getting a lot of points.
Hot.
And at this point, you're like, oh, he's chasing 50. This will be cool. And like some of the 50-point games we remember, this game most reminded me of the Brandon Jennings as a rookie.
Will Chamberlain's 100-point game?
Yeah, yeah. No, I own the only tape of that game, so I've seen it many times. The Brandon Jennings 55-point game as a rookie was Don Nelson was the opponent and coaching the Warriors.
That helps.
And he did not call timeout. He let Brandon Jennings pull up for three like six times in a row. And so like when you rewatch the game, it is funny because he's going off and there's like this giant run where Brandon Jennings scores a bunch of points. But you're like, if this was like a real game, if we were trying, a normal coach would have called timeout after two and switched something up, and he wouldn't score 55.
David Blatt would have called timeout.
So Devin Booker never even had one of those runs where like he got super on fire. It was just more like, wow, he's scoring a lot, all these garbage points. And so it was like, oh, this is going to be like a 50-point game in a loss, And then it was like, oh, he might be able to get 60. They're going for it. Like, they're still living on the court. And then that's when it got really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it became like when you play Tecmo Bowl and you ran back to your one-yard line just so you could get 99-yard touchdowns,
because you want more stats.
So then when Coach Earl Watson had him fouling after every play, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, they're just going for 70. That's when it got kind of bizarre, where you're like, I guess this is cool. Yeah. And I guess
that's the most fun way to tank ever.
Yeah, so and I know historically it's happened that way before, like the David Thompson and David Robinson scoring that many.
Larry Bird had games like that trying to beat McHale's.
They were trying to get the points thing. So,
there was a cool thing about that and a weird thing. The cool thing about his 70-point game, he only hit four threes, which is weird. That kind of shows you the kind of prolific inside. Like, they just didn't care. He was just going to the rim and hitting mid-range shots.
Wow, I did not know that about that. Right. That is stunning to me.
He had four threes. The messed up part was he was on the free throw line with 69 points and still hit another free throw, which
NBA Twitter was mad.
You should never, ever not score 69 points.
But you're going for the joke or outscoring Michael Jordan's highest game.
I don't know.
You kind of
I'm with Chuck. I stand with Chuck on this.
It is strange just again that it was so...
Wine 'em, dine 'em, Devin.
That's pretty good, but it was funny, and it was the thing where I guess this is a fun thing for the Suns to talk about and to build around, and then there was all the funny Instagram talk about Jay Crowder being like, "I've never seen such a happy bunch of guys who lost," and then Devin Booker like, "You can't guard me."
Yeah, it's pretty good. The clapback, but the ridiculousness of holding the Chamberlain-esque 70 on a piece of paper.
Brandon Knight's abs.
We need a 30 for 30 on who set that picture up.
That was
because those dudes didn't do it.
No, somebody was like, Brandon Knight. Hey,
I don't want to blow past that. Brandon Knight's abs were the revelation.
Yeah,
I assumed he'd be letting himself go because he's I'm not playing basketball anymore. He's just doing crunches.
You could clean out a cast iron skillet with those abs.
That was
unbelievable.
That's amazing. Well, those were our worst of weeks. Now for some Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House Presents, scattered, smothered, covered thoughts, a few more things bouncing around the league.
Before you say a word, Keith.
Yeah.
We're talking about World of Warcraft for about 10 minutes right now.
Hold up. Stop. World of Warcraft. Because there was that revelation this week. Tim Duncan, Channing Frye, Andre Kirilenko.
We know why AK-47 washed out of the league now.
Yeah. He
apparently spent like $100,000.
Remember that? No. Keith?
You misheard, Chuck. Mm-hmm. He had played so much that he could have sold his guys for $100,000.
Really?
Like, Kirilenko didn't buy his guys. Kirilenko spent all his time grooming his, maxing out his characters.
That's crazy.
There's a new grit grind in this league, and it's that guild that those three men belong to.
I'm so interested.
And if you're not getting this joke, grinding is when you play for a really long time earning coins.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's probably on some sort of Gamergate Urban Dictionary, but you can check that out, the validity. But remember when Keith was worried about the Warriors like partying too hard?
Uh-huh.
I don't think so, man. I think we know what they're doing now. I think we're knowing about that NBA nightlife right now.
Yeah, they're all doing VR World of Warcraft.
I got to say, so this is all on the Road Tripping podcast, which again is a competitor, which we sort of are.
Never heard of it.
When you get the NBA players together and then you get Duncan on there, come on now.
It's not even fair. We can't compete
with that. We should just quit.
Can we just get
it? It was so good. But hearing Duncan talk about that.
What was his race that he was?
I don't know anything about World of Warcraft. Honestly.
I would imagine he'd be like an elf.
He'd be an orc.
An orc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Channing Frye was saying he had a pet snake called Dick Puncher.
Channing Frye should be a wizard.
Which is amazing. Like that whole podcast is amazing hearing them talk. But yeah, Duncan's huge back tattoo is a World of Warcraft character.
What?
And then it was just you gotta hear the podcast. It's really good. But yeah, I'm surprised. You think he got Kawhi into it? You think that's what Kawhi's doing? It seems like Kawhi might be into that.
Kawhi would be a thief.
Because he can...
A rogue.
Because he steals balls.
Who would be the best elf?
Earl Watson.
High elf.
Earl Watson.
You're going like...
Isaiah Thomas.
Is it racist to say Jeremy Lin?
You guys are going like classic, like little bitty elves. I'm thinking like getting all Tolkien, like big tall elves.
I see Gasol. I see Mark.
Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
No.
he's a little elvish.
Tyler Elvin. Johnson.
Yeah.
Does kind of look like a...
Not bad. Tony Allen looks like the fighting Uruk-hai.
We were talking about the Hawks' bad record without Paul Millsap. A couple other ones. I mentioned the Heat record without Deion Waiters, 8-19. This is some defense of my boy Steve Clifford. Without Cody Zeller, the Hornets are 3-17.
I know that's your MVP vote, but you can't defend Steve Clifford anymore.
I will say, no. So this brings me to another thing.
He has quit. He quit in that game against the Bucks.
This brings me to another thing, which could have been my. This was going to be my worst of week if I didn't feel like we needed to get to the Devin Booker talk.
The elephant in the room.
No, the coaches, have we been misled about the quality of some of these NBA coaches?
Yes.
Frank Vogel?
Terrible.
I thought you were good.
No.
I'm going to say a word. Cover your ears, John.
Okay.
Stan Van Gundy?
Oh.
The Pistons.
You said three words.
The Pistons are done.
You done.
The Pistons are horrible. Pistons are losing every game by 25. Like, they don't know what's going on there. Casey, Kinsane Clown Posse is supposed to get a max contract. He's been horrible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
25 points the other night on probably 9 for 23.
Yeah. I don't think he got 25 points in the three previous games combined.
Probably not. That's who he is, though.
So, like, I mean, Budenholzer is struggling. We thought he was the system guy plug in. Maybe the system was Paul Millsap. Like, we thought these were the elite coaches. And obviously, they've had success. They've had years where they're like, that was an amazing coaching job. But now you're looking at it. Like, I don't even know. Like, coaching is so hard for us to judge, you know, anyone who's not an NBA coach or an NBA executive who's in it.
A lot of great coaches are sometimes defined by a certain player or players that they coach, so and like a relationship they have with them.
Right.
And that seems to be eluding a lot of these guys.
Like, Doc Rivers seemed kind of like good with a terrible team in the Magic way back in the day, and then he seemed bad on the Celtics, and then he won a title on the Celtics, and now the Clippers, who are also kind of, I don't know if he's good on the Clippers.
Doc Rivers has the same like record and stats as Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah.
Or Lionel.
But there's a lot going on with
Lionel,
coaching.
Lionel, my boy.
Like, you don't know.
Grumpy Bear.
When you get a new coach coming in, like a Vogel in Orlando, you don't know the culture of the players that have been there. He's playing with players that he didn't pick or doesn't want, you know, didn't have any input in their acquisition. I think when you have Indiana, while they're, you know, not that great this year, does have some sort of culture top down from Larry Bird of
Paul George is just getting angry. Every quote he says is like, but no one is mad as me. No one cares as much as me. I need the ball more.
I've always been curious as if culture matters so much, if you pulled Pop out of San Antonio and dropped him, you know, without his,
Pop coached the Suns, which was on the Road Trip and podcast.
I think they
were like, what, the Suns third? I think he was joking, but obviously, Pop coached the Suns, they would be real good.
You think?
Yes.
I don't know.
Earl Watson coached this year's Spurs team,
bad.
Yeah.
Pop is turning guys like, you know, the Pau Gasols, the LaMarcus Aldridge,
David Lee's in the top 10 in defensive rating.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. But speaking of Pacers culture, Chuck.
Here we go.
Born ready.
Oh, Lance Stephenson back.
A 3-year, $12 million deal.
I love that.
In March.
That's great. When he hasn't played.
Although, I don't know.
Played more than 2 weeks.
I know the last year is a team option. I don't know if the first year is this year. And is it just prorated? Is it actually like $300,000? Because it's like 1/10 of games. 3 million or 4. I don't know. I'm not sure. But him getting that much, a guaranteed next year blows my mind.
I just wonder how he got out of his lifetime contract with the Grizzlies.
Man, we never offered.
That's so sad.
The fax was late. Old Chris Wallace, the late fax Wallace.
No, I think Lance Stephenson is a silly person. I followed him on Snapchat all last year just to
watch him shoot jumpers.
Yeah, and all he did all summer was shoot jumpers. And when I saw he got hurt, I was upset about it because I thought he was going to have a decent season. This is one of his, you know, this is his contract year. You know, he was going to play for some sort of contract and look like
he was trying.
He's got a decent contract.
It worked out fine, sort of. He tore his groin. He hurt himself in New Orleans.
Might have been ACL.
And then something else.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened to him, but he's young enough now where he plays out this 3-year or these 2-year, this 2-year contract with a team option. He can get another decent contract.
Little known fact, he's younger than Chris Dunn. That's false.
Completely made up.
Those are my favorites.
But he's not old. What is he? Is he 26?
26.
Yeah.
So he can be 29, hit the...
He's 26.
He can hit the middle of his athletic prime and, you know, hopefully the game slows down enough for him and he can, you know, actually contribute to a good team.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to the awards segment of the program before a Grizzlies epilogue that will be painful. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. This week, we have a few honorable mentions. Frank the Foreman, Kaminsky, 0-9. Mario Hezonja, 1-10. Marquise Chris, 1-10. Danilo Gallinari, 3-15. And James Harden, 5-20. Three nominees for the award.
Can we talk about Frank real quick? Every time I look at a Hornets box score and he's the leading or second leading scorer, they lose by like 20, 30 points.
Well, they also lose every when he time. Goes 2-13, 0-9.
I would imagine so.
Whew.
They can't let him get that involved in the game.
Man.
It does not work out for them.
So many things. They had a choose your own adventure of do like one of 10 things on draft night, and it'll work out good for you. And they went with Kaminsky.
Ying.
Our three nominees, as they occurred chronologically, Marcus Smart in a win versus the Suns. I believe this is a 70-point win. Or a 70-point game. Marcus Smart, up against Devin Booker's 70 points. He was 1-13. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover, 4 personal fouls.
2 egregious flops.
And egregious flopping. Also on the same night, and this personally pained me, on the night Devin Booker goes for 70, Chris Future Grizzly Middleton also went 1-13 in a win versus the Hawks. He was also 1-13. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 turnovers, 4 fouls. And then, presumptive rookie of the year, Dario Saric, in a loss against the Pacers, was 3-15. 9 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers, 3 personal fouls. So we got Marcus Smart, 1-13, 9 points, 3 boards, 6 assists. Chris Middleton, 1-13, 6 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals.
This is going to really
and
test
Dario
Keith.
Dario Saric, 3-15.
Let's test Keith's mettle here.
Let me go first so that you guys can be the pick.
So Chuck, go first.
So I will pick. We were talking about Instagram handles. Dario Saric's Instagram handle is Megalodon20, which...
That's awesome.
That could be World of Warcraft.
Incredible. I'm going to pick him for that. I know I shouldn't punish him for having a great online screen name.
Plenty of rebounds.
But, yeah.
I mean, 10 rebounds. He had 4 turnovers, 1 almost, assist, almost 3 had, for 15.
Almost had a double-double.
Plenty of rebounds.
David's rebounds are the emptiest stat there is.
It is.
Keith is just trying to protect his boy right now.
Well, so you think it's Middleton?
Let's see what you say, Keith.
Well, I could save Middleton easily.
Because he had 3 steals.
We're testing Keith's very He clearly has the worst box score.
I say...
When less you, assists than when, smart.
I always say... Far less rebounds. We don't take into things like if we're actually watching the game. This is just what's printed box on score. The back page in the paper. But if I'm opening up the back page of the paper and I'm like, oh, look, the guard for the Celtics was 1 for 13. That's really bad. Oh, look, the guard on the other team scored 70 points.
Oh. Does have a point. And did he play any role in defending Booker that game?
Yeah.
So, I would imagine so.
He got toasted and couldn't.
But also, no
they
one
didn't
cared.
Care. They didn't care.
They didn't care
yeah.
to no the end cared. When it got weird.
I think that's the.
And then when
X
it got weird,
there.
They were getting called for fouls. They were like double teaming and they kept calling so many fouls.
Yeah.
So you're going smart and I'm going Middleton. So how do we do this tiebreaker?
Fight to the death.
I have no idea.
I wasn't really tied to.
I mean, Sarge
Megalodon.
Is good.
Sarge is, yeah, he was okay. Yeah, he almost had a double-double.
What do you think's worse, Smart or Middleton?
I'm going to go with the less points on the same shooting.
So, yeah, and more turnovers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's go Middleton.
Middleton.
Let's go Chris Middleton.
Hurts.
It hurts.
Love Chris Middleton.
The Bucks are 11.
He's been dunking on fools after that injury.
11-4 in the month of March.
Oof. Yeah, they're going to be a.
That's pretty good. They've gone from the 10th seed to the 5th seed.
They're in there, baby.
In
they're
just
in
3
there.
Weeks, 3 on episodes, fire. 2 yeah. podcast episodes.
It's going
to
be great.
Official.
I should apologize to them for about 4 weeks ago. Just heaving shade all over Jason Kidd.
Yeah, you were killing Jason Kidd,
but he was probably throwing those games,
or he was playing with mid. He was playing with his lineups mid-season.
Honestly, yeah.
probably throwing those games.
He had money on him.
All right, well, par fade away before the Grizzlies epilogue in a very overstuffed episode. What are we looking forward to in the coming week? I was going to say Dario Saric. I look forward to him. It's funny how Sixers fans were throwing a fit that Embiid was not the Rookie of the Year. But who cares? He only played 30 games. He's definitely the Rookie of the Year.
And you got the Rookie of the Year.
But now they are. No. Dario Saric is definitely the Rookie of the Year. It's insane to not be the Rookie of the Year. Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping for more scenarios like we just had with the Jokic-Nurkic game where you get to see teams really step up and have the performances that get them into the playoffs and like propel them towards their goals. You know, the Heat just did it. You know, the Blazers just did it. And it's kind of just, that's why we watch these games because those are the types of scenarios that only a playoff race can give.
And yeah, it's the legit playoff game in the regular season with personal storylines intertwined.
Oh. And there's only one storyline that I would like to see come playoff time, and it's looking like it could be possible, which is
2-7 matchup.
A 2-7 matchup of the Cavs and the Heat, which would be absolutely incredible. The Cavs have dropped, obviously, to second place. The Heat, while now in eighth, are game out behind the Pacers, and the Pacers have a pretty rough lineup coming, tough string of games coming up.
The last time this happened, I forced Chuck to watch all these games with me, and he was completely out of his mind.
I'm surprised you want that. I feel like if I was a Heat fan, I would want them to play, you know, like bring on the Wizards, bring on the Celtics, bring on the Raptors. Yeah, I don't know what the matchups are, because you
Chuck
guys can
wants
beat,
revenge.
You
he wants revenge.
I know we can.
You are right now the
Chuck
person.
Don't know karate.
You are right now Jon Snow.
But no,
by
crazy.
Himself, like no, we can beat this other team if we do it this way. Right. Nope, I'm gonna ride right at the army by myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's you against LeBron.
I think it's the only way for it to make me
Game
happy.
Game of Thrones.
Get out of here with
my,
that.
My mind is racing.
Have you watched that series lately? Why
no, I haven't. These are I don't know. How, I don't even know. I remembered all this stuff. Normally, it's just it's in one ear. Like I don't.
He won't let me
all.
Talk Tolkien, but he's
right.
Bringing the Grimm.
Yeah,
but. That's the look. I'm looking forward to the playoff races and hoping with my fingers. I do want to see a first round because I don't think we're going to see a playoff matchup with those two outside of that.
Yeah.
So if I want to get it, I want to be the team that upsets LeBron, and I want my boys in Miami to pull it off. So
that's great. All right, my official part of fadeaway will be in segueing to the Grizzlies epilogue, a Grizzlies watch party on April 5th. This a week from Wednesday at Double Dog Sylvan Heights. So if you're in the Nashville area, come out and watch the game with
us. I'm not saying we have a Z-Bo wrestling buddy doll to give away, but we have a Z-Bo wrestling buddy.
We got re-upped.
Yeah.
Prop Joe hit us. Ooh. We got all the good prizes.
The plug came through. So
Chandler, Parsons, yoga mat.
We got,
what?
we have one of those.
Mark Gasol cutlery.
So come to Double Dogs on April 5th.
And that's
5th
not for teeth.
On a Wednesday.
That's for using to make meats.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to a very quick and angry lame duck Grizzlies epilogue, because the Grizzlies will be playing the Pacers very shortly.
RIP Mark's foot again.
So big red flags. Mark Gasol, sore foot, sitting out. After last week feeling so good, after winning so many games in a row, the Grizzlies have now lost one on an 0-4 road trip. Here's my dark thoughts. They are, what, 40? They're going to be the 7 seed.
Yeah.
And they have not played any of the young players in like 50 or 60 games.
No.
So the fact that you're telling me the Grizzlies are 40-33 and Wade Baldwin and Deonte Davis have not played at all, I'm like, well, what's the point? Like, why are we running these other guys into the ground? I'm also sad that it looks like Fizdale is doing so many numerous things where you're like, what in the world is going on? The Kings loss, particularly gruesome.
I'm tired of losing Dave Joerger.
Yeah, Joerger's now won 2 in a row against the Grizzlies. The Kings loss, he blew timeouts early. The team was horrible the whole game. They shot 34%. At the end, when there was no timeouts left, they put in the horrible lineup of the three, Andrew Harrison, Troy Daniels, Mike Conley. If we don't score a bucket, which I don't know what the odds of that are. Like,
do Tony and Fizz have beef? What's going on?
Well, it's like Tony plays some. I feel like the lineups have gotten weird. So I'm down on this. I'm down on the idea of playing the Spurs. However, on the one hand, and recognizing the fact that I've read multiple existential crisis Grizzlies articles this week, the Grizzlies are still 4-1 since Chandler Parsons was shut down. And in the games, they've started the lineup they want. When they start Conley, Tony, Vince, Jermichael, and Gasol, they're 4-1. The only loss was at the Spurs. So the sky is not necessarily falling. Just kind of down that the season hasn't. I don't know. I thought if we were going to have like that middling to bad record, we would be playing our young guys a lot. We're not playing our young guys at all. Yeah, I guess Andrew Harrison is a young guy, but his potential I'm low on. So I'm down. I'm dreading a playoff loss to the Spurs. I really hoped we could play the Rockets or the Warriors.
I don't
want
any part of the Spurs.
I do like that the Spurs aren't that good at offense, relatively speaking. I guess they play a low pace, a slower pace, where I feel like the Grizzlies can hang in.
It'll be a gruesome grind of a series, and usually you would say that favors us, but with the Spurs having like 6 guys in the top 10 defensive rating, we can't say that any longer.
And so in just a couple hours, the Grizzlies are going to play the Pacers, 2 teams that are having a very, very bad couple weeks.
Sans Mark Gasol.
Right, no more Mark Gasol. And even like Deonte Davis not even playing when there's no Gasol, it makes me kind of sad. But so I guess I'm down on that. I will say though, all the lamentations about it all being over, that's a bit too much. Like Gasol missed 2 games.
Is it?
They lost at the Warriors. I mean, and it was a good game. They played really well. And they lost at the Pelicans, where the Pelicans have won 5 of 6.
We never beat the Pelicans.
Yeah, and so like, and that was a game without Tony Allen. So I'm down. But I'm hopeful. It's still going to be fun.
You're living in the moment.
But it looks good. You got Indy and Dallas at home next to those aren't givens and guarantees, but those are
the Grizzlies' schedule is the easiest from here on out of anyone.
Yeah. So, and they're locked in.
Which is a bad thing because the Grizzlies lose those games.
They're up 4 games on the 8th seed. So they're locked into where they're at. I think it's, you know, right now it would be unwise to panic because they're a playoff team.
If they could get the 8th seed and play the Durantless Warriors, I would prefer that. Honestly.
Will they be Durantless?
No, that's the question. They might not be. Yeah. I would risk it. I would play a Warriors team trying to get Durant back into.
Oh yeah, Rusty Durant.
Rusty Durant. You got, you know, we're not a dirty team, but just shoving them.
I mean, just
letting them know.
A little love, a little
showing them
that Oklahoma Star Telegraph, Mr. Unreliable front page.
Mm-hmm. I still got the Warriors last in teams I want to play.
Yeah,
give me the Rockets. So don't scary. Give me. Don't
Here's
give
the
me
thing.
Durant.
If they play the Spurs, I can't sell those tickets.
There
you go. No one. I mean, I'm going to go to the games, but
you got to go to those games.
No, I will be there, but you can buy extra tickets to sell.
Right.
No one buys those with the Spurs.
You can't be buying the tickets and selling them to Warriors fans, anyways. Terrible fan.
Got to make money.
That's it.
That's a hustle. All right.
Mic drop.
You guys, thanks for listening. Don't hold it against me. Boys got a budget.
Terrible fan. I'm leaving.
You guys are the best.
Drive safely.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fab break, man. You understand?